And it's about 21, almost 22 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno Afternoon. That was Radiophonic Jazz with Chris Talley and Arias. And again, they'll be performing at the Southeast by Southwest event at the Gold Tender Collodion this Friday night. Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress. And they've been delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. And I can tell you they've helped me out of a number of tech tantrum meltdown moments. So bless you, Hanson Gress, for your support of Juno Afternoon. Our next guest is Abby McAllister with the Division of Wildlife Conservation from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Welcome to a Juno Afternoon, Abby.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And so there's a lot going on in the natural world around us, like there always is. Mm-hmm. You know, even though Wally Hickel said it, you can't let nature run wild. What can you do? And so I guess you're here to tell us some of the things that we can do about nature. So let's jump right into it. What is going on from your perspective at Fish and Game?
Sure. Well, being wildlife-minded folks over there, there's always something to talk about. And I think the biggest topic floating around our office these days, and I think probably on the minds of a lot of folks who like to harvest our local resources, is it's hunting season coming up starting tomorrow. So August 1st. is when deer hunting season opens in Southeast Alaska. It's just bucks out of the gate from August 1st until September 15th. Starting September 15th, it's any deer. And this past year, we had the Board of Game. They met in Petersburg. And they're kind of the governing body that makes regulations, changes regulations. And this year, they changed a couple that we wanted to make sure folks knew about. One of the hot spots for people to go hunting is on Douglas Island. And they made a change there. So this year, hunters can still take four deer off of Douglas Island, but only one can be a doe. And they did that because, you know, they want to make sure that that population stays robust. And they're seeing that maybe it could benefit from having more deer, more does, rather, in the population over there. So that's a big change. Kind of on the other side of the coin, over in Unit 4, which is the Admiralty area, deer over there are doing great. So they increased the bag limit from four deer to six. So, there's some changes there that folks should be aware of. And that's the big stuff, deer-wise.
And so mechanically speaking, if you are going to go out, you obviously have to have a hunting license.
Absolutely.
And when you get that hunting license, how do you document how close to your limit, your bag limit, you are, whether you're on Admiralty Island or Douglas Island or wherever else you might be hunting?
So when you get your hunting license, you're also issued a harvest ticket, or you should be getting a harvest ticket. And, of course, best practice is that you carry that harvest ticket with you in the field. In fact, you are required to. And as soon as you harvest that deer, you notch the date and the time that you did so. And then you can carry along with dressing your deer and getting it out of the field.
And if a wildlife protection officer were to find you with an unnotched ticket, you would have some explaining to do.
Yes, yes. And you would definitely get a little bit more education about what you should be doing. Yes.
Right. And so and obviously sometimes there's an exigent circumstance. You know, if you kill an animal and then you see a bear, you're not going to be notching the ticket till you deal with that.
Right. Excuse me, sir. Furry bear, let me go deal with this. No. Right. But as soon as you can, and we always just tell folks best practices, notch that ticket first. So.
Right, right. Okay, very good. Well, so that's what is going on with deer populations mm-hmm. and hunting opportunities. What else is going on in the wild world around us that people need to know about?
Sure. Okay, sticking with the theme of hunting. So waterfowl is coming up too, and lots of duck hunters out there. The biggest thing for folks to know on that is they did also change some regulations with waterfowl. Basically, and I'm going to explain this in the clearest way I know how. So for years, the waterfowl season opened on September 1st. Then they changed it, about a decade ago, to open on September 16th. Well, some people liked that, some people didn't, and they heard a lot of different types of feedback. So now they're splitting it right down the middle, and on odd years, like 2019, waterfowl season will open on September 1st. In even years, like 2020, waterfowl season will open on September 16th. Now, they'll end at different times, too. So the season opens earlier on September 1st. It ends mid-December. If it opens later, mid-September, ends end of December. They did this for all different types of reasons, but the main one is that waterfowl are migratory. And as the season progresses, they move from the north to the south, and they want to make sure that hunters in various areas have different opportunities to harvest the birds that they're targeting. There's that piece. Then
okay.
There's more.
Okay. Well, the alternating year wildlife management technique is one I've heard of before. Actually, on Oahu, Reef fishing is open an odd number of years and closed and even, but it's the whole island. And so I've always thought that was kind of an imprecise management technique because, you know, by December of the year when it's open, if you're a humuhumu nuknukuapua'a and you're still around, you really have been hiding pretty well. But then in the next year, it's just, you know, no problems, right? You can swim right up to anyone in a snorkel mask and have no fear of being taken. So, but what else do people need to know about waterfowl harvesting in Alaska?
Yeah, so the other thing that they changed, and I think this is really great because I am in education. I am all about getting people involved in it and kind of growing our next generation of hunters. And so what they did for the Mendenhall Wetlands only is for the first 2 days of the hunt, when it's open to youth only. And that's great because it gives youth this opportunity to come in and have 2 days all to themselves just hunting at the beginning of the season. Of course, there's some rules associated with that.
It sounds like free childcare. Just drop the kids off, pick them up at the end of the day.
As long as you have a friend who's 21 and is also a wetlands permit holder, yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
But yeah, the youth, it's open from ages 10 to 17. They have to have completed hunter education and had a certification via that route. They have to be a permit holder, and they have to be accompanied by someone who is 21 who is also a permit holder.
But that's still nice because there's not the pressure of having a bunch of adult hunters out there.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, any adult hunter who is there, they're with the youth, and they can't shoot. It's open to just the youth. And I think that's it's really a great way, kind of that mentorship program. So that's another change folks should know about.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we've looked at deer and we've looked at waterfowl.
Mm-hmm.
What about feral rabbits?
Just feral rabbits. Yeah. So we do have an uptick of a feral rabbit population showing up. It's been in the valley. That's been the hot spot. But there's been some reports of feral rabbits in the Mountainside area, Mountainside Estates, and they're expanding a little bit into deeper parts of the valley, kind of toward Dredge Lakes, and, you know, the people are just reporting more of them all of a sudden. So if you do see a feral rabbit in your neighborhood, and they're different from your wild kind of snowshoe hare because, well, they might be white with brown spots. They're usually hanging out in your garden, probably in numbers underneath your porch. And you can harvest those by any, you know, means legal, whether it's live trapping or otherwise. As long as you have a hunting license and you're operating within the regulations that are currently, you know, active for a populated area like Juneau, you
right.
can harvest them, yeah.
And so these are pets, domesticated pets that got released in all likelihood. And is there any interbreeding with the snowshoe hare population?
Not that we know of now. No, I don't think they're terribly compatible, I guess. But, you know, rabbits do, especially with warm summers, plenty of vegetation, rabbits do reproduce rather quickly.
Oh, right. It's a matter of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little baby can become a mom.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And so with favorable conditions, their population can really explode. And, you know, what we're also seeing with these feral rabbits is that they don't have a lot of natural predators, but also they can do a lot of damage to property, a lot of damage to gardens, and they can also be carriers of things like ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did talk to animal control, and they said that they are seeing rabbits turned in with some pretty some ticks kind of on their body. And it's not a big deal. It just means that those ticks can get transferred over to our domestic pets. And
then to humans.
And ticks are not unusual for Alaska, but, you know, they're not – with what milder winters, we tend to see more of them. And having a feral rabbit problem can be just a vector for these ticks to move over.
So if listeners want to learn more about any of these wildlife populations and the ways in which they can legally interact with them, can they go to the Department of Fish and Game's website?
Oh, yes, definitely. So if you are looking to harvest, hunt.alaska.gov is a great resource. It's, you know, the website is very thorough. So it might take a while to find what you're looking for, but it is probably there. If you don't have a ton of time and you just want to get right to the answer to your question, just give us a call. You know, the folks in Douglas, our area biologists, our wildlife biologists, our frontline staff, they will answer any question you have, and they'll do it in short order. We also have a ton of publications. Stop in, grab a brochure. If you don't have a lot of time to chat. So.
Excellent. All right. Anything else, Abby, you'd like to share with the listeners on a Juneau afternoon this Wednesday?
I would just say that, you know, we always tell folks, have a great hunt if that's what you're doing. Make sure, though, to just check the regulations in the area that you're hunting. And do let us know if you have any questions. But it should be a great fall.
All right. Thank you so much, Abby McAllister. And you enjoy – it's not fall yet, so you enjoy the month of August first, but then it will be fall soon enough.
Indeed. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.
Support comes from Northland Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center, information at 789-6780 or at northlandaudiology.com.